Good morning, my friends. Okay, so welcome to the Thames Life podcast. Welcome to our new recording sessions of us just telling you a bit more about ourselves and for you guys to get to know us. So would you like to each introduce yourselves? Vishal?
Yes, hello. Thank you, Lucy. My name is Vishal and I am community organiser at Thames Life. Been working here for just under a year and a half.
And Matt?
Yeah, Matt, Chief Exec. Been working here since 2017 when we set the project up. And yeah, lived in London for 30 odd years, South East London.
And Zainab?
Hi, I'm Zainab. I'm the comms officer and I've been at Thames Life since 2021.
And I'm Lucy, the Health Outreach Officer for Thames Life. I've been here just over a year and a half now. I'm a local resident and I love my job. So I'm going to just start off by asking like an overall question to all of you. So what made you just decide to work for Thames Life? Why are you here? What's the reason?
The reason that I started at Thames Life actually is because of Matt. Matt Scott, the CEO, who you just heard from. Obviously, I was engaged in doing things in the local area with my CIC. Every person is capable. And through that experience, engaging in different parts of the borough, I had a chance conversation with Matt. In fact, I think it was quite deliberate from Matt's side. I met with Matt and one of the Thames Life trustees, Lai, at the Everyone Everyday Warehouse. And I think from that relationship, it kind of grew in terms of doing more localised work in the Thames View and Riverside area. And that was really a springboard into some of the work that I've done as part of the team at Thames Life.
Thanks, Fish.
Over to me. I mean, I've always done community work and I think I got this call out of the blue just as an organisation I was working for previously, London Voluntary Services Council, was winding up. And it was about this job in sort of Thames Ward, as it was then. And I thought, yeah, I'll go check it out, because I'd sort of knew Barking in the 1980s, because I am an increasingly old person, and just sort of went over there with this, there was a lottery bid, and it was a case of, we'd like you to start a project. And it was really as open-ended as that. But I'd sort of done work nationally and sort of across London, and I was looking for something that made a bit more sense, that wasn't so sort of stretching across like a large area. And I just wanted to get back to doing basic community work. And yeah, kind of like that was 2017. And it's been a lot of change. And a lot of fun, really. So that's, I guess, kind of like how I found myself here, and really, really sort of surprised, but also sort of thrilled by a lot of what we've done together right now.
Yeah, so I was a new local resident at the time. I moved here in sort of 2019, so before the pandemic, and I used to work in a law firm in South London, so I was traveling about an hour and a half every day for work. And then it wasn't until after the pandemic and having my first child that I thought, no, I really do need something closer to home. And after getting involved in sort of a cycling group and a local walking group as well, the job opening for a comms officer at Thames Life TWCP in those days was shared in the group, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. Really excited to learn more about, you know, telling stories and getting involved in real community work, which is what I've always wanted to do. So yeah, and still really inspired by what we do.
So I think for me, I never planned to work here. So, I just had started taking part in some local groups like the Ripple Nature Reserve community group. And from that, I met Nia, I met Matt, and started to become really aware that there was quite like a bustling community activation type group or groups happening in the area that I just didn't see. Like, despite being here for 18 years, I hadn't noticed. Maybe because I had younger children then and I was more free now. But yeah, I was coming from Riverside campus one day, accidentally bumped into Matt and Nia, and they were just like, look, there's a job opportunity, apply for it. And I was like, no, I'm kind of happy with my business. I don't really want to work for anyone else. And then I think I bumped into you, Matt and Nia again. And then you were like, can you just apply? So I was like, okay, fine. And obviously when you haven't worked for someone else for a long time, your CV is next to nothing. So I had to send that over to a friend and get that kind of amended, and I had to update it. And I wasn't even sure if I would get the job, if I'm honest, because I didn't think that I qualified for it. But I guess that old saying about transferable skills is a real thing. Like, that really meant something in this process, I think, because once I got the job, it really started to activate my mind in terms of what things needed to be changed in the area, what things could be improved, kind of where residents are at with kind of their own agency and ability to make change. And I just thought, right, okay, this is the chance for me to put some of my recent skills that I've learned through peer research with the Young Foundation and Barking Riverside Limited. And it was like, right, I'm going to do something about the fact that people are not feeling empowered, the fact that health is quite, you know, it's not on a positive level at this point in time for residents of Barking and Dagenham. And I thought, right, I'm going to do something about this. And I took the job. Here I am now. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But in terms of, like, working as a team, like, I don't know, what does it feel like to work for Thames Life? How do you guys feel on a daily basis with the jobs you have? And I'd like to ask Matt that specifically, because you are the only non-resident. Because this is like, for us, it may be the case that we're fueled because this is our community and we're passionate about making change within it. But for you, what's driving you here?
I mean, it's changed so much from when I started. It was just me, basically. Then recruited Jamie, and for quite a while it was just us two and neither of us, although Jamie's just a stone's throw away over the river kind of thing. It's kind of been bubbling up to be what we wanted it to be, which is something that was particularly sort of there, run by, for local people, local groups. So the fact that, you know, I'm the only non-resident, although I seem to spend a lot of time sort of morning and evenings here, is exactly what I was kind of hoping for. I think it's been quite the moment I remember is basically with the interviews was having a sort of food poisoning incident, and then thinking, I'm going to go to this place and, you know, Barking Station, turn up there bright and early. Oh, it looks pretty much the same as I remember it. But then coming through sort of Thamesview, Riverside to the school, I'm just overwhelmed by, you know, all the cranes and all the development and all that kind of thing. And then being grilled by the MP who was on the panel.
Why was he grilling you?
Margaret Hodge. Yeah. I think that's what Margaret does, isn't it? You know, it's like public accounts kind of thing. It's like, are you sure you want this job? You know, why convince us kind of thing?
It's good she's checking.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I was sort of like, had about two nights of food poisoning, so I was not really, you know, I was just glad to be making it there. And then there was like a group of 20 residents as well who did a separate panel thing as well. But I suppose it doesn't mean anything unless you've got that feedback and sort of real driving of it by local people. So, and it was kind of like the abstract was somebody thought putting a bid into the lottery would be a good idea. I guess, you know, that was Riverside School, that was the MP. But actually we've taken it, you've taken it and run with it and created all sorts of things. You know, it's not just like we do one project, we do many, many things. And it's the kind of, you know, the energy and the creativity that people bring to that that's really exciting. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I think, so like for Vish and I, we've lived here quite a while now. Like, Vish, where are you at? Where, how do you, you know, where are you coming from?
Yeah, I've lived here for maybe 6.5 years, and just grateful because in that time there wasn't much going on in terms of you in Riverside, in terms of community groups and social infrastructure, and whatever was taking place was rather quiet. Quite astounded when I found out about the good work of Thames Life and a few of the other organisations, and really hoping that whatever remains is going to take shape and continue the empowerment that you've spoke about, really.
Zena?
Yeah.
But where are you at, like, now after being here? Because you're kind of one of the founding mothers.
Not really. But I was the third staff member after, my two predecessors. But yeah, where am I now? I'm still really excited about the work we do. I've described us a bit like a startup in the sense that, you know, it's every day is different and we're constantly trying to evolve and innovate and do things differently. So yeah, for me, I'm really still trying to push those, you know, push those limits with the type of change that we can make, so that, you know, we get a chance to leave a legacy.
Cool. And like lastly, in terms of, like, well, I guess you might have quite a few stories, but I'm going to ask you for just one. What's been your best experience in community work so far within Thames Life? Like, anybody go? And it can't be that hard.
It is kind of hard because this is like a series.
Yeah.
It's a series of really good events. I mean, one of the highlights was the Thames Life relaunch, for example.
Yeah.
Where there was a lot of people in Everyone Everyday Warehouse while it existed. And so many people from different groups, backgrounds came to that day. And that was great. I mean, also other things come to mind, like the sports day, which again, great use of space, seeing young people use the same space but in a different way. So it's really hard to pinpoint one specific memory, really. That's a standout
for me. I'm gonna pick something quite internal. A really, like, empowering moment for me was when I was in sort of my first few meetings with Matt and Jamie. And, you know, I used to just sit there really quietly, like, trying to understand what community development even was. And, yeah, Matt would be like, oh, Zainab, what do you think? And I'm like, me? And it sounds really silly, but I'd never been in a job where someone, let alone the CEO, cared about what I thought. And that was really empowering and, you know, really pushed me to contribute and to know that, you know, my voice did matter and it wasn't just tokenistic, but when I shared ideas or my perspective on specific things, they were actually taken into account, and that's been life-changing for me. Yeah.
Wow. That's
I was going to say mine, but I can let you talk first.
Yeah, that's really moving. I think for me, there's lots and lots of different sort of snippets of things, and some of it's just like moments that we're able to sort of create together. So I suppose, like Vish was talking about, the launch event, Everyone Every Day Warehouse, some of the things that we did there weren't even necessarily sort of central Thames Life things, but the cultural event that Helen and others did was just amazing, because through all sorts of different energies and efforts, it just took off and soared. Likewise, you know, some of the events that were done, sort of the anti-knife crime initiatives as well, was pretty amazing, because it was, again, a number of people just sort of coming together without any sort of one organisation trying to put a heavy sort of thing on it. I mean, the pop-ups, the health store GP pop-ups have been amazing, just because of the range of different groups that have really contributed, and, you know, a big sort of shout out to Lucy, obviously, around all of that. But yeah, and then the young citizens stuff we did, particularly before the pandemic, where actually they led from the get-go quite a lot of the meetings and won some of the bigger campaigns, and like their sort of voice was really stood out, was really powerful, because it, in a way, it was not necessarily coming from a sort of perspective that had been shaped and influenced by other things. In a way, it just was much more sort of raw in a sense, and all the more powerful for that. So, like, yeah, a lot of the young citizen stuff, but I don't know, it's every day is different. So there's, yeah, plenty to think about. Segue, Lucy.
Oh my God, like, I now just totally agree with what Fish said, because it's a lot. Like, yeah, I don't even know how to capture everything, but I think you've all said a bit of what I kind of want to say. Like, definitely the empowering part. Like, I definitely agree with you, Zainab. Like, I've had people ask my opinion, but I think it's the throwing you in the deep end and expecting me to swim. And I think you kind of probably knew I could swim, but I was like, can I though? Well, we'll find out. You would just leave me in certain meetings and be like, you know, you could do this, bye. And actually, yeah, I could do it. I just didn't know I could do it. And so, yeah, thank you for that. I didn't drown. But also, I think it's like learning about, like, I find people very interesting anyway, but just learning about the strength and the resilience and like the things people are dealing with on a daily basis, but yet they still manage to think of other people. They still manage to have passion despite like a community group that hasn't got any funding. They'll still figure out a way to help someone, or the parents or the families that have been coming to their groups. They'll just figure it out. And despite them not being able to provide for their own organization, they're still putting themselves out there to support others. And I think like, I wish I could like hold a mirror or a magnifying glass up to every single group or person that lives in this community, that to just highlight to maybe, you know, local governments or, you know, other sectors that provide funding, to say, look, I think you've missed this one, or I think you've missed this, because, you know, I have been in meetings where people have made comments like, people are not strong enough or clever enough or resilient. And that's just a lie. Like, you just need to see and listen, and you'll see it's all already there. The structures are there. They may not look as clear as they're supposed to, but they're all feeding into this amazing community and society of people that just know how to figure stuff out. You just need to kind of give them the support. And I think just discovering all of that in a year and a half of doing this job has been amazing. But also learning about the other types of people in the community that don't live here but work here, you know, local doctors, people that work within the council, their passion alone just to try and get stuff done is amazing. And I just think seeing all of that, and if we were to like times it by a million, like, it would change the world. I know it sounds really corny, but it's true. So yeah, that's kind of mine. It's a lot, but yeah, it's a lot here. So anyway, I think that's that for now. And next week we will talk a bit more about what's going on, what we've got going on, what's coming up. And we'll probably also speak a little bit about what we've done, like, as in before even me and Vish came along. So yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks everyone.
Brilliant. Thanks.